It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, presented, of course, by BetOnline.ag. Your online sportsbook experts. Just use that promo code PODCAST1. He is Evan Silva. This is Tears of Evan. You have come to the right place. Check him out on Twitter at Evan Silva or at his new venture, establishtherun.com. Evan and the boys are killing it over there, which is very, very cool. You guys are killing it, by the way, in terms of trying to get into the Fantasy Feast League. Now, I got to tell you, I was not overly impressed with the entries this week. So for the second week in a row, I'm only inducting. Is that even the right word? I don't know. I'm only allowing in one additional entry. That is Tim Driscoll, who sent me screenshots of him rating and reviewing not only the Fantasy Feast podcast, but the Even Money Sports Betting Contest or podcast with Steve Fezzik, which, by the way, today we are doing our season win totals, our preseason season win totals, which you should check out. The Ross Tucker Football Podcast, of course, this, the Fantasy Feast, the College Draft Podcast, where, man, Russ Landy, the former NFL, XFL, CFL scout, had some really interesting players he's excited about in college football to keep an eye on, some skill guys for you fantasy dudes. And then, of course, Andrew Brandt's Business of Sports podcast. So, Tim, congratulations. You are in. So, Scott Sheriff's in. Slappy McGee's in. Justin Christopher's in. Steve Knowles in. Scotty Boyd's in. Tim Driscoll's in. So, that is six guys in. And at least six more spots. We usually do a 16-teamer, but at least six more spots still to go. Take advantage of any of the sponsors over at rostucker.com. They're all awesome. Or just buy something on Amazon through the landing page on the homepage at rostucker.com. Or get creative. It's up to you. I'm going to get Evan's tight end tears right now. I never know how much to sing or not, Evan. Some people like it, some people don't. Silva, establishtherun.com.
Am I drafting Zeke?
He's holding out, maybe.
If I'm following Evan. I'm at the turn.
Two picks to burn.
But I know I won't go wrong. Tears of Evan.
Yes! Second week in a row, Evan. We are diving into your oft-imitated, never-duplicated tears. Last week was quarterback. Today, it's tight ends. I think this is the second week in a row, Evan, that your tier one consists of exactly two dudes. And for tight ends, it's Travis Kelce is your tight end one, George Kittle, tight end two.
Yes. And Travis Kelce took a small hit in my top 150, which you can read at establishtherun.com, when Tyreek Hill avoided suspension entirely. Now, we had talked in the last several shows about how it was beginning to look like Tyreek Hill was going to face a suspension of 0-4 games as opposed to 6-8, which I had initially anticipated throughout most of the spring. But then we got official word that Tyreek Hill is going to face 0 games worth of suspension. So now Travis Kelce just moved, ticked down a little bit. He still is my number one overall fantasy tight end. In an offense quarterback by Patrick Mahomes, The defense, I think, is still going to be problematic in Kansas City. Last year, Travis Kelce led all NFL tight ends in yards gained on 20-plus yard targets, yards gained on slot routes. He was second among all tight ends in raw targets, catches, yards, and touchdowns. You know, I think the defense in Kansas City is still going to be problematic, and they're going to have to throw the heck out of the ball this year. So Travis Kelce, not quite a first-round pick that he was looking like he was going to be in regular season-long leagues. More of an early to middle second-round pick, I think, but still the clear tight end one. Now, if you're in a tight end premium league like in the FFPC, I think that you're looking at the first five, the group of elite running backs, and then I think Travis Kelce is worth taking at the 1.06. So, and we'll talk about the elite running backs next week. But Travis Kelce, tight end one. Tight end two, and I have them closer than I initially did, is George Kittle. Jimmy Garoppolo coming back. George Kittle led all NFL tight ends in yards per route run by a big, big margin last year, and that has been one of Pro Football Focus's most predictive metrics year over year. Set an NFL record for among tight ends in receiving yards and yards after the catch. And you know, there's still just a complete lack of clarity as to how the wide receiver pecking order is going to shake out in San Francisco. George Kittle benefits from that. Last year, Kyle Shanahan could not really run the offense that he wanted to run because of, you know, so many injuries offensively. But this year, I think that he's going to be able to. And when he did run the offense that he wanted to run in 2017, the 49ers were number six in the NFL in number of plays run and number two in pass attempts. I think that they're going to be a shootout team. Their secondary is a problem. Didn't address it at all after it was one of the worst secondaries in the league last year. And George Kittle is going to benefit from that. All the guys in the offense are going to benefit from that. I think Jimmy Garoppolo also is a value pick, as we talked about last week.
All right, so tier two, you've got Zach Ertz alone by himself, which is interesting. You know, anytime there's a tier that's just one guy, I always find that intriguing. Why? Why is Zach in a tier all to himself?
Yeah, because I think that Travis Kelce and George Kittle should both be top 25 picks, or at least very, very close to that range. And then Zach Ertz I have closer to like number 40. So there is a fairly significant drop-off, and you know, this is what tiers are all about. There's a fairly significant drop-off, I think, from Kelce and Kittle to Zach Ertz. Now, Zach Ertz is coming off an awesome season, but he also had so much go right for him. He set his career high in targets by 44, and he set his career high in catches by 38. And over the last two seasons, he's got eight touchdowns in both seasons. That's a lot of touchdowns. You know, he's like George Kittle only had five last year. He's got positive regression coming. I think that Zach Ertz might have some negative regression coming. And Zach Ertz also benefited, like last year, Alshon Jeffrey missed the first few games. Zach Ertz had double-digit targets in all of those games that Alshon Jeffrey missed. You know, and then this year they added so much offensive firepower. Like the ball is going to go to other guys more this season. Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Alshon back healthy, DeSean Jackson, you know. And I think that they're not going to throw the ball as much as they did last year. They lost like everyone on defense last season. And I think that their pass attempts are going to go down. They had about 40 more pass attempts last year than they did the year prior. And I think that they're going to be more like the team the year prior, which, by the way, is a Super Bowl, you know, caliber team. So I think that Zach Ertz, you know, obviously I think the Eagles are going to be really, really good, but I think that that's not necessarily going to benefit Zach Ertz. I think he's going to get hurt a little bit by that.
Well, and the one point I would mention there, too, is just following the Eagles since I'm doing their preseason telecasts this year. Dallas Goedert had an unbelievable spring. I mean, almost everybody you talk to, you know, some of the beat writers in Philly, they polled players to say, like, who had the best spring. And I think Dallas Goedert got, like, the most votes. And so I would expect that they're going to be more in 12 personnel and try to get Goedert more involved even more. And like you said, there's only so many catches to go around. And if Goddard's getting more, you got to think Ertz will be getting less. Let's go to tier three. You've got O.J. Howard, then Evan Engram, then Hunter Henry, then Vance McDonald, then Jared Cook, then David Njoku.
Yes, so this is a big tier, and I've thought about breaking up this tier into two tiers. O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, Hunter Henry would be in their own tier because there is a little bit of a drop-off. It's not a big drop-off, but there is a pretty big, you know, a noticeable drop-off between those three and then Vance McDonald, Jared Cook, David Njoku. So I may do that at some point. I've considered doing that. But right now, you know, I have these guys as like fifth through, you know, ninth round picks, kind of scattered throughout that range. O.J. Howard has been just an absolute beast from an efficiency standpoint, averaging 6.6 yards per carry over the last yards per reception over the last two seasons. He has averaged over 11 yards per target in each of his first two seasons. Neither Travis Kelce nor Zach Ertz has ever gotten over 10 yards per target. O.J. Howard's over 11 in both of his first two seasons. Rob Gronkowski got to 11 yards per target once in his nine-year career. Adam Humphries and DeSean Jackson left the offense. I think they're going to score a lot of points in Tampa Bay this year. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. And O.J. Howard is like one of the most obvious breakout candidates on the board this season. Evan Engram, in 15 career games without Odell Beckham, Evan Engram has 76 catches for 945 yards and six touchdowns on 125 targets. That would have made him the tight end five overall last year. Evan Engram finally got healthy down the stretch last season, averaged 77.2 yards per game over the Giants' last five. I think he absolutely can be the Giants' de facto number one receiver this year. I think he can take a big third-year leap. Hunter Henry very much looked poised for a breakout season last year until he tore his ACL. I think it was on the first day of OTAs last May. But he's ready to go. You remember he made a kind of like a cameo appearance in the playoff loss to the Patriots, played like about 15 snaps in that game. So, you know, didn't really do much, but I like the fact that he just got medically cleared for that, and we've heard no problems regarding his you know, any lingering effects from his injury so far. This guy was number two among all NFL tight ends in yards per route run in 2017. Also in a contract year. Vance McDonald, I think, is the favorite to become the Steelers' number two pass catcher behind Juju Smith-Schuster. Ben Roethlisberger loves Vance McDonald, and an underrated kind of plus for him is that they moved on from Jesse James. So I think that that's going to help Vance McDonald just from a sheer playing time standpoint, and I think that he's going to have a breakout season. He was third among all NFL tight ends in yards after the catch last year, behind George Kittle and Travis Kelce, and then he was second in broken tackles behind only George Kittle. Had more broken tackles than Travis Kelce. He's a guy that, you know, struggled with drops early in his career, but has kind of gotten it together. He's kind of like a late career breakout player. Jared Cook is top five among all tight ends over the last two seasons in receptions. And now he's going to New Orleans. And that's a pretty good offense to play in. You know, I think that his touchdown probability is going to rise going from Oakland to New Orleans. And he's another guy who was kind of broken out late in his career, was kind of like an underachiever, an enigmatic, athletic underachiever for a lot of years in Tennessee and then with the Rams. But he's become like one of the most consistent receiving tight ends in the NFL over the last couple of years and relocating to a better offense. David Njoku, his targets were just 4.6 per game after Freddie Kitchens took over the Browns' offense in the second half of last season. So that is concerning. Also concerning is the fact that the Browns, traded for Odell Beckham, because that's kind of going to push everyone down the target ladder. So David Njoku, I think, is risky. I think he's going to be a really inconsistent. I think he's going to have some big games, but I think he's going to be frustrating from a fantasy standpoint. But I do think that he's a candidate to like score 10 touchdowns, and that kind of takes care of this tier.
Keeping it moving to tier four, you've got Austin Hooper ahead of Jordan Reed. Gosh, I like forgot about Jordan Reed. Ahead of Eric Ebron, about a 99% chance to use the word regression when you mention Eric Ebron. Ahead of Trey Burton, ahead of Delanie, don't call me Delanie Walker.
Yeah, these are tight ends that are capable of finishing in the top 12, but probably won't be difference makers week to week. Austin Hooper's ceiling is kind of capped by how deep Atlanta is in the wide receiver core. You're bringing back one of the best three receiver sets in the NFL, and I think this is definitely a team that's going to run the football more. They were bottom three in rushing attempts last year. They're getting back good players on defense, so going to be a little bit less opportunity for Austin Hooper and for the passing game as a unit. Jordan Reed played through chronic toe pain last year. Still finished 11th among 30 qualified tight ends in yards per route run. He played 13 games. I mean, that's like a big accomplishment for Jordan Reed. I think the Redskins are not going to be very good, but he absolutely can lead them in receiving. I'm way below consensus on Eric Ebron, who, yes, he scored 14 touchdowns, actually, if you include his rushing touchdown. He's going to regress. If you look at his entire body of work in college and the pros, Eric Ebron, before last season, had never had more than 5 touchdowns in an individual year. All of a sudden, he has 14. You add Devin Funchess, Paris Campbell. T.Y. Hilton was banged up all last year. Jack Doyle is back. And then if you look at the games where Jack Doyle played last season, Eric Ebron drew 8.8 targets per game when Jack Doyle was out, only 4.4 targets per game when Jack Doyle was in. And Jack Doyle actually had more targets and played more snaps in the games where they both played. So Eric Ebron is a clear fade for me in pretty much every fantasy format. Trey Burton had a big preseason and was kind of a disappointment during the regular season. Topped 40 yards in only 3 of 16 games. Did not top 40 yards in any games after week 7. He struggled with confidence late in the year. He was inactive for the Bears' playoff loss. He's coming off sports hernia surgery. It's a deep offense in Chicago, and I don't know if getting him the ball is going to be a priority this year. I'm really big on Allen Robinson this year, having a big season. We'll talk about him when we get to the wide receivers. Delanie Walker, coming off an ankle fracture and dislocation at age 35. So that immediately sends up major red flags. But this guy was cleared for the start of training camp. And he had over 800 yards in each of his previous 4 seasons before last year going down in week 1. So, I mean, Delanie has been a warrior throughout his career. And I like him here at tight end 14. He's a guy that I really like to get as my second tight end in best ball and in tight end premium.
Let's get to your tier 5, and that is Chris Herndon, Mark Andrews, Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, T.J. Hockenson, the rookie out of Iowa, Dallas Goedert, Tyler Eifert, and the aforementioned Jack Doyle. Tier 5 for Chris Herndon, even with the 4-game suspension, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, these are flawed tight end twos. You know, they're not guys that you're drafting to be starters, but they do have some upside, some reasons for optimism. Chris Herndon, just the eighth rookie tight end in the last decade to clear 500 yards in his first season. The suspension stinks. It makes him like undraftable. Like in a league where you have like five or six bench spots, you know, you have short benches, you pretty much can't even draft him. He's going to be out until week six because the Jets have a week four bye and he's got the 4-game suspension. Not even going to be able to use him until week six. Now you certainly can draft him in best ball still. And I think he's a good pick in best ball. I mean, the suspension just crushed his ADP. So now we can kind of get better value on him. If you look at the list of tight ends that cleared 500 yards as a rookie, I mean, there's a bunch of like future Hall of Famers on there. I mean, Rob Gronkowski, George Kittle, Aaron Hernandez was on that track before you know everything went down, and Evan Ingram also fell into that category. Mark Andrews, another guy who met that criteria of being a rookie tight end that went over 500 yards. This guy was dominant down the seam as a rookie. He was fifth among all NFL tight ends, not just rookies, in yards per route run last season. And if you look at all the pass catchers that the Ravens are bringing back, Mark Andrews has the most established rapport with Lamar Jackson of all of them. So I think Mark Andrews is like a baller. Jimmy Graham, really big disappointment because he scored two touchdowns last year. He had 55 catches, which is decent, but he only scored two touchdowns. You know, we talked about on the quarterback show how Aaron Rodgers had a career low touchdown rate, 4.2%, 2 percentage points below his career average. And Jimmy Graham really, you know, was hurt by that. And also, I question what he's got left in the tank. They used a third-round pick on Jay Sternberger, who I really, really like coming out of Texas A&M. So Jimmy Graham, not sure about bouncing back. You know, he's a flawed tight end too, you know. So he kind of defines this tier. Greg Olsen, 3 foot fractures and a torn plantar fascia over the last 2 seasons, turned 34 in March. You know, I think we're going to see him in the broadcast booth sooner rather than later. And they've got a young tight end by the name of Ian Thomas, who I think has a lot of upside in the short and long term. So I think that Greg Olsen, they're probably going to scale his snaps back. TJ Hockenson, I don't think the Lions are going to scale his snaps back. I think he's going to jump right in as an every down player. But, you know, again, a really, really good season, like historically good season for a rookie tight end, is 500 yards. And that's not big time in fantasy. And I think that's what we're looking at with TJ Hockenson. That's going to be a run-first offense. You mentioned Dallas Goedert. He's my tight end 20. I think he's actually being overdrafted in fantasy leagues because everyone, you know, the book is out on him. The dude is an absolute beast. And, you know, it's just how often is he going to get the ball in this offense that has so many really, really good players? It's just a loaded offense. You know, and look, if Zach Ertz like misses any time, Dallas Goedert is going to be like a top 3 tight end play or top 4 tight end play in daily fantasy. Tyler Eifert always hurt. Can we get 12 games out of him? You know, that's what we ask every year, and we never get it. So just, you know, there's not a whole, the story never changes with Tyler Eifert. And then Jack Doyle coming off the hip surgery, you know, I think that he's going to do more to hurt Eric Ebron than he is going to carve out his own fantasy value.
All right. Tier 6, Gerald Everett, Kyle Rudolph, Noah Fant, Cam Brate, Ian Thomas, Mike Gesicki, Darren Waller, Jason Witten. Wow. Jason Witten. Irv Smith, and my favorite, Rob Gronkowski. I was waiting to see. I was going to say, what do you do with Gronkowski? You got him in tier 6. I mean, the guy's retired, and you have him ahead of a bunch of different tight ends. I love it.
You know, he's just shedding all that weight to come back and play wide receiver. You know that, right, Ross? He's going to come back and be a wideout.
Let me just say this, and I've tweeted this, I've written about this. He's one of my favorite players ever. I really hope he doesn't come back. You know, just knowing he's already had three back surgeries and everything else, I really hope he doesn't, but it's his life, and if he does, I will allow myself to be entertained by his exploits. Somebody posted, like, a highlight clip of him recently that I saw. He is ridiculous. Have you ever seen him in person, Evan?
No, man.
I think people would just be shocked at how big he really is. The two guys I think people would be most surprised by how large they actually are Rob Gronkowski and Cam Newton. Like Cam, I mean, first time I met Cam, he is all of 250, 260, wide shoulders. They actually have similar body types. Gronk's even bigger. For those guys to be able to do what they've done at their size is incredible, but it is interesting because they're so big and they're able to take so many shots from people, their bodies just break down because they're just getting, you know, they don't take one shot and go down. They get hit, bang, boom, boom. And so that's the similarity between those two guys. But, yeah, man, I love them.
Yeah. So this tier from tight end 23 to tight end 32 is comprised of late tight end 2/tight end 3s that are at very least worth monitoring. And that's why Rob Gronkowski falls into this tier. But it begins with Gerald Everett, who, you know, certainly has the athleticism, 88th percentile spark athlete. Last season, you know, he was originally drafted to become Sean McVay's next Jordan Reed. You know, Sean McVay was originally the position coach, tight ends coach in Washington, under the Shanahans, and you know, with Jordan Reed, and Jordan Reed was like his prized pupil. And look, Jordan Reed or Gerald Everett came out of South Alabama and wasn't ready to play in the NFL right away. But last season, over the Rams' final eight games, his routes run per game went from 13 to 23.5. Now, this coincided with Cooper Kupp's ACL tear. They started playing a little bit more 12 personnel. But including the playoffs, Gerald Everett's routes run per game almost doubled. And Tyler Higbee kind of took a step back. He went down to 12 routes run per game. So I do think that they want to incorporate Gerald Everett more as their primary tight end in 11 personnel, which they primarily use. That's where we need to get him. We need to get him as the primary tight end in their three receiver, one tight end package for him to take a big step forward. I think he's going to get that opportunity. I think there were signs of it down the stretch last season. Kyle Rudolph stayed in Minnesota after signing a surprise contract extension that has no guaranteed money after the first year. You know, it's really not really even like a contract extension. It's just, hey, you know, you can stick around. I think he's going to lose snaps. He was bad last year. He was bad as a blocker and as a pass catcher. He was 22nd in yards per route run. He got bad grades as a pass blocker and a run blocker from Pro Football Focus. You know, I had him on multiple fantasy teams last year. He did nothing. You know, not separating. They used a second-round pick on Irv Smith. They're bringing back Tyler Conklin, who I think has got some potential. His role grew down the stretch last year. David Morgan, they bring back as a blocker. You know, they've got a lot more options now in Minnesota to take snaps off of Kyle Rudolph's plate. And then they're going to run the ball a lot more this year than they did last season. That's not good for an inefficient pass catcher that needs targets in order to produce. Noah Fant falls into this, you know, rookie tight end bucket, but the buzz has been strong on him. He's a guy that I'm going to be monitoring really closely. I might move him up as we move forward. Cameron Brate, he's pretty much like a red zone guy. at this point. Can definitely score touchdowns. You know, we've seen him score at a pretty high rate on a catch versus touchdown basis. Ian Thomas mentioned him, really, really good athlete, coming out of Indiana, was raw, you know, played at JUCO. But he was number six among tight ends in yards over the last 6 weeks of last season. And I think that he is going to kind of rotate in more frequently with Greg Olsen. And if Greg Olsen goes down, Ian Thomas, I think, becomes a fantasy starter. And we've seen Greg Olsen go down, unfortunately. You know, he went like 10 years without missing a game. But his body is kind of starting to break down, I think, late in his career. Mike Gesicki and Darren Waller are kind of like lower-key breakout candidates. Mike Gesicki was a disappointment in pretty much every respect last year, but that's what happens with rookie tight ends. So we shouldn't be surprised in hindsight that Mike Gesicki didn't do a whole lot as a rookie tight end. You know, it'll be interesting to see exactly how much do they put on his plate. They, you know, there's a new coaching staff there, Chad O'Shea coming over from New England, their longtime wide receivers coach. Chad O'Shea is now the Dolphins' offensive coordinator. So, you know, how are they going to – he's going to be a guy that I'm going to be looking at in preseason. Same with Darren Waller, a wide receiver at Georgia Tech, now playing tight end for the Raiders. The Raiders seem very, very high on him, playing that Jared Cook role. Jason Witten, you know, I wonder if the year away from football could be good for his body. I think that he's going to come back and be a possession receiver who catches like 50 balls because, you know, they don't have a whole lot else there. They don't want to play Rico Gathers, that's for sure. They moved on from Jeff Swaim. He went to Jacksonville. You know, Blake Jarwin is back, but, you know, he doesn't really move the needle. But I think that Jason Witten, like in a tight end premium league, I think that he is actually kind of a good value pick. We have him here at tight end 30. Irv Smith, not sure how many balls he's going to get this year, but they did use a relatively high draft pick on him late in the second round or in the middle of the second round, and so that suggests that he's going to get opportunities sooner rather than later.
And you talked about Gronk, so we'll see what happens there. People are basically just taking a flyer there to see whether or not he comes back. Tier 7 to wrap it up, Evan. We've got Matt Lacoste, Ricky Seals-Jones, Vernon Davis, Ben Watson, Jeff Swaim, Jeff Heuerman, don't call me Heuerman, Blake Jarwin, CJ Azoma, Hayden Hurst, Jace Sternberger, Dawson Knox, Nick Vanette, Ed Dixon, Jason Kroom, Drew Sample Size, Trevin Wesco, Charles Clay, Jordan Thomas, and Josh Oliver.
Yeah, so these are just tight ends that like are going to get playing time pretty much. I do think that some of them are a little bit more interesting than others. Matt Lacoste, I mean, the seas have just kind of parted for Matt Lacoste. I mean, they cut Austin Seferian Jenkins. Rob Gronkowski retired. Ben Watson got suspended. You know, so... And Matt Lacoste, I mean, he didn't embarrass himself by any means last season with the Broncos. He could absolutely open the season as the Patriots' primary tight end. I mean, at this point, I expect it. Ricky Seals-Jones was quantifiably like the worst tight end in the league last year from a pass-catching efficiency basis. And he's a converted wide receiver who isn't much of a blocker either, but Cliff Kingsbury did recruit him coming out of high school, and Ricky Seals-Jones has athleticism. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he's incorporated. He's a guy to watch in the preseason. You know, we'll learn more in the preseason. Hayden Hurst, don't really expect a whole lot from him in his second year. He was a first-round pick, but I think that he's pretty clearly been passed by Mark Andrews there. Dawson Knox, the seas have kind of parted for him too, especially with Tyler Croft, who they spent some money on breaking his foot. Not sure we're going to see him until like mid-season. Dawson Knox, rookie out of Ole Miss, zero touchdowns in his college career, but a really good athlete and a guy that they drafted in the third round. He'll be a guy to watch closely in the preseason. His competition is going to be Jason Kroom, who is another converted wide receiver who is dating the owner or is like dating the owner's daughter, the Pegula owner's daughter, Jason Kroom. And so he's got that little nepotistic benefit working in his favor. And he kind of showed some chemistry last year in the preseason with Josh Allen. So just a name to keep in mind. Trevon Wesco, rookie out of West Virginia. His arrow kind of went up a little bit when Chris Herndon was suspended. However, the Jets did just sign Ryan Griffin away from the Texans, and he probably is the favorite now for snaps during Chris Herndon's absence. Drew Sample was shockingly drafted in the second round by the Bengals as a blocking tight end out of the University of Washington. This is just guys that are going to see playing time and might move up based on preseason news, might surprise during the regular season, just kind of guys to keep on the radar.
Question for you, Evan. Is nepotistic a word?
I doubt it.
Okay. Number two, how do you know that Jason Kroom is dating the Pegula's daughter? Like, how do you know that?
I don't know, man. I just know it. It's weird. It's weird.
That's amazing. By the way, speaking of dating and stuff, I got to read to you one email from our guy, last year's feast winner, who we had on. This is amazing. Anthony Combs, yeah, the guy from Missouri that we had on, and he said he sent me like 40-plus Amazon confirmation emails. He said he can send me to try to get in the league again this year. I still haven't let him in. You got to hear this. Thanks again for letting me on the podcast. I just finished it up. Too late now, but I meant the running back from Green Bay, Adam Jones, not damn Davante Adams. Ha, ha, ha. Also got made fun of my wife. My second kid is 9, not 8. Remember he had like, how many kids did he have? 6? And we were like, how old are all they or what are their names? It was like Antonio Cromartie. He said, my second kid's 9, not 8. It was fun. Sorry, I was super nervous. I've never been on radio or podcast or anything before. It was very fun. Missed 2 topics I needed to hit. Didn't help my conference room I was hiding in because he was at work, is all glass, and I had a coworker effing with me. Just made me respect what y'all are able to do even more. I will just have to get in the league and win again to redeem myself. Evan, how do we lose to this guy?
I know, it's embarrassing, isn't it?
I mean, Anthony, dude. Oh gosh, the image of him in the conference room with his coworker effing with him while he's trying to be on our show and not knowing how old his kids are. I mean, that's amazing. That's awesome. So Anthony, keep fighting the good fight to try to get in the league again this year. And also, I don't know, I didn't mention it, Evan, but also we added a new podcast. I mentioned on the Raw Sucker Football podcast, the Ma Juke girls from the Ball Blast podcast, the one episode, yes, you were off and I interviewed them.
I like them.
Dude, they are good. They, yeah, are amazing. All they like to do is talk about fantasy football and drink IPAs in Pittsburgh. I love them. Did you ever go back and listen to the episode with them?
Yeah.
When I couldn't figure out what the deal was, yeah, there. I was thrown, yeah, off by when they said we're wives. I never heard anybody say we're wives before. Like that. I was like, oh, okay, so you guys married guys in Pittsburgh. That's awesome. Oh, man. So anyway, they are now on the RT Media platform. So you can go to rawsucker.com to listen to them. Highly encourage you. Those girls, I'm just telling you, they are going somewhere. It's the Ball Blast podcast. All right, Evan, that was terrific. Of course, tight ends in the bag. Quarterbacks in the bag, still to come, though. Running backs, wide receivers, and I don't think we've ever done this before, Evan, defense special teams. We're doing it. We're doing a whole episode of Tears of Evan on D special teams, since some of you asked, even though Evan's not a huge fan, I'm not really either, to be honest with you, but some of you can't control what your league is, so we'll do tiers there as well. And then you can go ahead and take all the information you get from Evan Silva and go to betonline.ag, use the promo code podcast1 so you get that 50% 50 welcome bonus, which is awesome. 50% money they deposit extra when you go to betonline.ag and use that promo code podcast1. Make sure you check out Andrew Brandt today on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Fantastic. Talking about Tyreek Hill situation, Jaron Reed suspension, and the Cowboys cutting Allen Hurns, the Redskins cutting Mason Foster. And of course, I mentioned this earlier, but check out Steve Fezzik and myself today as we do our best season win total numbers for you and get you ready to go on the 2019 NFL betting season as well on the Even Money Podcast. Other than that, I am stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.